Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with David Tagliano and Walker Wildman. Walker, what do you got posted on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Well, I posted a One News Now article regarding the Obamacare versus the American Health Care Act, round one. It's talking about the legislation that we just spoke to Sandy about. And I also posted an article from One News Now about Judge Gorsuch, his hearings on Capitol Hill today in the Senate.
All right. And Ed let us know that he's been reading about this Ryan Trump replacement for Obamacare for a week and a half, and he's not going to read about it anymore.
I don't understand it.
Are you serious? It gets that complicated?
It gets that complicated because you have not only the procedural complications, you know, in terms of reconciliation, it goes to the Senate.
Right.
But just in terms of, you know, the language they use is very arcane. It's very specific to people who know, who eat, drink, and breathe this kind of issue.
Policy wonks.
And I'm reading it and I'm going, okay, I think I understand that. But then someone in the House is interviewed and they say, yeah, but you got to consider this. And well, this is for 8 years, but not for 10.
Let me ask you this question, and I think people should – this is not something we should lose our religion over.
Right.
You know, or create a new denomination. This is something – I'm talking about this – what is it called? What is Paul
it's
Ryan
called? It's called the American Health Care Act.
Okay, yeah. The American Health Care Act, which is the proposed legislation that President Trump and Speaker Ryan and Vice President Pence – are pushing, right?
Yes.
To replace Obamacare. Obamacare is President Trump has said, is everybody knows it's a fiscal disaster.
Right.
But you said to me it's going to re-up in September automatically if it's not replaced. True?
Well, if Obamacare is not replaced or repealed or whatever the language you want to use, then Obamacare lives, okay? It's still the law of the land. And people begin in September signing up for the next year.
Okay.
They have to sign up by then or they pay, you know, penalties or whatever. So if you don't do something to replace it, it continues. And it continues to be the American healthcare system.
Well, my view, again, if we can have some grace for one another here and not call each other sellouts for believing in one way or another.
Right.
You have to believe – if you're going to believe that – this is all a ruse, or that this is a sinister plot by the president and Speaker Ryan to destroy America, huh?
Yeah.
To continue the destruction of America's healthcare system. You almost have to believe that's what they're in for if they're not going to change, you know what I'm saying? To promote their – because their ideas, this new bill, is going to be all on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you could believe, and I think this is probably what Sandy's saying, although she did use the word sinister, but I think I said that. Okay. I think what she's saying is that a lot of these Republicans are big government Republicans. They're not true conservatives. They're basically part socialists.
Them.
Yeah. Well, listen, the fact of the matter is this country leans socialist. It's a mixed economy. We're not a pure, you know, capitalistic economy. Also, my view is I know in an ideal, you know, world, the federal government should not be involved in this, but you're going to have some federal involvement. Healthcare is too big a piece of the pie for the average household. You've got people who go to the emergency room and get free care. You can't deny them care. Healthcare, they get their healthcare at the emergency room. Somebody's got to pay for that, and so you've got to have somebody. And the federal government's the only institution that can do it. Somebody's got to play referee on these kind of things. Mm-hmm. And healthcare. This is not going to your country doctor anymore. That's 60, 70, 80 years ago. These are huge enterprises. It's very expensive. I'm not saying I'm for a socialist approach, socialist medicine, but you're going to have
well, we already have that to a degree with Medicare and Medicaid.
And who's going to say we want to stop that because it's
saying,
socialist?
You're not going to be able to solve all the problems of cost with healthcare with the free enterprise system. I know that sounds anti-conservative, but healthcare is and health insurance is not like anything else.
Mm-hmm. You're also not going to.
Here's what I mean. Think about this for a minute. When we go to buy a car, we can go shop at the Toyota place or the Chevrolet or the Ford or whatever you want to buy. You go shop, Mazda, whatever you want to look at, Honda, and you compare prices and you decide what kind of car you like, whether you want a new car, used car, whatever. Okay. So you need a liver transplant. You don't say, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You don't say, I don't know if I can afford this or not.
Mm-hmm.
No, you say, I don't care what it costs. My mom needs a new liver or she's going to die.
Right.
So don't tell me about money.
And you have one hospital in town.
Right.
You're not going to shop. You're not going to go to four or five different cities and hospitals and say, which one's going to give me the best
deal
on the liver?
Give me the best price on a liver transplant. Then time is of the essence. I mean, it's a different animal than just your traditional approach to
even car insurance. People say it's just like you don't do this for car insurance. Well, you can shop around for car insurance.
Right.
The best thing we can do, from my understanding, and Ed may know more since he's been reading about this, but the biggest holdup, it seems as though, is not being able to shop, not having many options of insurance coverage. And so individuals in some of these states, there's only one provider. In some, next year, there's going to be zero providers. I don't know how that works out. But you need to be able to shop across state lines and go to a company in Ohio, New York, and get the lowest price. That's the only thing that makes sense to me when it comes to affordability.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's as Ed said, he used the word complicated. I'm just saying I don't take the view, and I could see how somebody would, I guess, but I just don't take the view that President Trump and Speaker Ryan and those who are joining them on the Republican and Vice President Pence want to see their administration, their new programs destroyed because they know this is going to fail.
Right.
But they're going to pass it anyway. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I mean by sinister. I just don't see
We had Congressman Greg Harper on. Right. I don't know the man personally, but I don't think he was lying to us. He knows what his base is here in Mississippi.
Right.
I mean, is he hiding something from us? I don't think so. I mean, I think they're trying to solve a very complicated problem. Obamacare is apparently a
disaster.
It's
been around for 6 years.
You're
not going to turn it overnight.
Right. You're not going to turn that ship around. I would be willing. This is not AFA's position. This is my position.
Right.
I would be willing to take a step in the right direction and then continuing to improve on that over the next 4 to 8 years.
And see Obamacare stay in place?
No. I mean, get rid of Obamacare with what apparently this is a pretty good approach. But maybe Sandy's right. I don't know. Maybe this is going to sink the healthcare ship. But I don't know. We send Greg Harper. We send these people up there to represent us.
Right.
And if they either don't understand it and make a misstep, or they do understand it and they're not telling us the truth, they pay at the polls.
Right.
Right. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Steve Jordahl has been patiently waiting, coming through the mauve room.
The mauve room.
Taupe.
Close the taupe to the room. Taupe. It came through the taupe room into the studio here to share some breaking news.
Well, it's kind of breaking news. I was speaking, you guys had Sandy on a little bit ago. I just got off the phone with her. So this is what's happening. Fox News pulled Andrew Napolitano from their air yesterday because they say they could not corroborate.
The judge.
He was the one that made the claim that Trump Tower was being surveilled and that the American intelligence agencies were using British intelligence to do it. He didn't give up his sources. They said he had three sources on that. They said that they could not corroborate that. So they pulled him off the air, which leaves President Trump kind of dangling in the wind, because that's where President Trump was getting his information about Trump Tower being surveilled or wiretapped, as he put it. This is a conversation I had with Sandy Rios a second ago.
Well, I talked to a former CIA operative just last week when I hosted for Tony Perkins on Washington Watch, who told me that his inside sources at the CIA, and he was there for a number of years and he's still working with them but not as a full-time employee, that his inside sources told him that there was an order to surveil Donald Trump, but they did not use the CIA or the NSA or the FBI. They did use British intelligence. And he explained that that's because British intelligence could pick up the conversations of American citizens without, you know, it wasn't against their law to do that. And that then they were briefing the Obama administration on what they were finding.
Sandy Rios has the same sources that Judge Napolitano does, and she is not backing down from her claim, and mm-hmm. she says she's going to give me the source so that I can talk to him independently, too, that the wiretapping did take place. Now, why this is – what's really scary about this is yesterday FBI Director James Comey came to the Hill and confirmed that there was indeed – an investigation going on into Russian meddling in the 2016 election, and those tentacles of that investigation extended to whether the Trump administration was, in fact, colluding with the Russians. He gave no indication that they were, no evidence that they were, but he didn't say that they were or they weren't. The scary part is that the head of the Justice Department, Jeff Sessions, has recused himself from this whole mess. So the person that is driving the ship over at Justice is an Obama appointee who wouldn't give – I wouldn't give I couldn't tell you how much I don't trust that person to be fair in his dealings with the Trump administration.
Well, and I think this is a miscalculation on the part of Donald Trump, President Trump, after he was elected. I think he should have just privately asked William Comey for his letter of resignation, because it would be just easy to say, listen, you were with the last administration. That's how you got your job. I want to start fresh. He should have appointed somebody else.
But he can't do that now.
He can't do it now, because then it looks like a cover-up.
Right, because that's exactly what Nixon did. He tried to fire Archibald Cox
Comey,
and got in trouble.
President Trump was in an odd position, because Comey came out weeks before the election and said, we're reopening the Clinton investigation, yada, yada. And so some people viewed that as favorable towards Trump, which really the FBI has no business being in politics. They're not supposed to try to influence politics. But then you had, we have to remember, FBI Director Comey was the same one who dropped or chose not to offer an indictment or charges, not to recommend charges on Hillary Clinton because of her server and her in the bathroom, literally in the bathroom. And so that same FBI director has many flaws, in my opinion, on his decision-making. And so I think on that basis, President Trump should have found a new FBI director.
But as it stands now, he doesn't have a new FBI director. The FBI director, it's true that he can't comment on pending cases. There's certain things he can say, certain things he can't. But I'm hearing that this is an FBI director that is second only to J. Edgar Hoover when it comes to knowing where the skeletons are buried, and being able to use it for his self preservation, and for getting at his enemies. Now, who his enemies are, we've had a sense.
I would say this is conspiracy theory that the British are spying on a presidential candidate in the United States. But after you review the President Obama's history and his record the past 8 years on some of the scandals they've been involved in, with the WikiLeaks emails, how the Clinton campaign was colluding with different media outlets and stuff, I almost don't put anything behind the Democrats.
Here's what we know. We know that someone was spying on the administration, because they outed the conversation between
Michael Flynn,
and President Trump and some of the Mexicans and some other people. So there is
the Australian president. I mean,
exactly.
Yeah.
There have been some leaks out there that prove that someone's listening in. And
this is after he's in the White House.
This is after he's in the White House.
But now, wait a second. Some of these official calls, though, are recorded
anyway,
by the State Department.
But somebody released it to the
media. Right. So, yeah, they are recorded, but it's...
For the record.
Yes.
It is not a leap to say that there is surveillance going on to Donald Trump. And so what you have is... You have an antagonistic Justice Department or intelligence service that is still chock full of Obama appointees and, some say, driven from the top at Organizing for Action, which is Obama's Washington, D.C. think tank that is pulling the strings to destroy the Trump presidency, and they are coming dangerously close, as of yesterday proves.
Well, I know this, that Democrats from the beginning, at least, maybe not officially, but just stuff that I have read, a lot of people who would be in that kind of Organizing for Action kind of mindset have been calling for Trump to be impeached since the get-go. So it seems to me that the strategy is to create now, listen, if President Trump has done something worthy of impeachment— then he should be impeached. I was in favor of the impeachment of Richard Nixon, even though I wasn't old enough to vote. I supported Richard Nixon, but I think that this is a strategy to taint the Trump presidency in order to do what you wanted to do from the very beginning, which is to get rid of him.
And you have some very powerful people in the intelligence community that are pulling the strings.
I mean, does anybody really think that the British don't spy on us and that we don't spy on them? And same thing with Russia and every other country.
And Germany, Trump pointed out yesterday.
And Germany. I mean, that's what modern states do.
So we already know that the Trump administration surveilled Germany and Angela Merkel. And that's what President Trump said in his press conference with Angela Merkel. He says, well, at least you and I have something in common. We've both been wiretapped by Trump. And everybody just thought
You mean President Obama?
By President Obama. Yeah. Thank you for correcting me, Walker. Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So.
I thought you were going to open up with something light.
Yeah, I got
Steve.
I got something we can close with. It's okay. Kind of a little bit of fun.
You think we're being wiretapped right now?
Absolutely.
Y'all got me all paranoid here.
Why would they? They can just listen.
I know, but it'd be more
radio.
I know, but it'd be more interesting to wiretap a radio show, don't you think?
We're being surveilled.
You think we're being surveilled right now?
I don't know. I saw a dark sedan outside.
You did?
I know. And a van. Wasn't there a van out there?
Somebody's out there listening to us on the radio and surveilling us? All right, what do you got? What do you got?
What else?
Steve?
Word has come that calmer heads may be prevailing when it comes to Korea.
North Korea.
Yesterday, we played our Chad Groening did a story that said that it could be that military action might be the only thing that a preemptive strike might be the only thing to curb our North Korean neighbors from their nuclear ambitions, their missile tests. They're testing missiles that could ostensibly reach the United States now. And today it was announced that that Trump is considering perhaps some sanctions, which is, of course, we've taken there. But North Korea put out a video, a propaganda video, and it showed, among other things, the blowing up of the USS Carl Vinson and American troops. Aircraft carrier. And it was, as CGI graphics go, it was the worst thing I could ever see. But I want you to listen to the passion with which this propaganda lady speaks.
But now this is in Korean.
Listen. You won't be able to understand it, but just listen to her voice.
So Korean.
And this is kind of like when someone gets up in church and says, don't listen to the way I sing it, just listen to the words. So this is what we're going
to... This is the opposite of that. You can't hear the words, but listen to the way she sings this.
정의로운 선군의 복음으로 혈의 머리 위에는 아름다운 통일의 무지개를 인류의 머리 위에는 평화의 푸른 하늘 펼치여 가리라.
Yeah, I'll have the California sushi.
Yeah.
That's a lady who knows she better put everything she's got into it or she winds up going to a prison camp.
You've seen those pictures of the Korean, North Korean troops clapping for their beloved leader?
Right. Kim Jong-un.
Man.
Now, with all due respect to President Trump and Secretary of State Tillerson, economic sanctions on North Korea?
Well.
Come on.
So this is
what
Trump's already... I'm not suggesting we need to go to war. I'm just saying until the dictator can't eat, economic sanctions mean nothing to these people because there's only one person in charge and his people are starving to death anyway. Have you ever seen... Google Korea at night.
Oh, yeah.
And you'll see the Korean Peninsula, right? That's what it's called. Right. And, of course, it's divided into two countries, North Korea, communist, South Korea, free. And you'll see the South Korea is lit up at night because freedom brings prosperity. And
electricity.
And electricity. And North Korea doesn't have any money because they have a dictator who's in charge. Everything that they do have goes into the military and keeping his dictatorship propped up. Mm-hmm. So they have no electricity. They have no lights.
Big black hole.
So, I mean, I don't know what you do with this guy.
What they've done in the past, Korea seems to, first of all, we have a new president, so they're testing him. But second of all, any time that North Korea really gets in dire straits with regard to starving people or food or it needs money or needs something, it starts testing missiles. And what it does is it says, okay, come to the table. We will stop testing missiles if you give us this aid package.
Yeah, the only problem with that, though, is every time they test missiles, they're getting better and better. Remember, it used to be several years ago, they would fire these missiles and they explode when they're launched. And this is a fifth-rate military power.
They're getting better.
But they're getting better and better, and now they're testing missiles that might reach the continental United States.
You have to strategically disarm them. Maybe not from a military standpoint, but you have to suck all of their military supplies that are going. Because we got to understand, they're getting military supplies and missile supplies from somewhere other than North Korea.
China,
because they don't have the capabilities. Not every country has the capabilities to create their own weapons and all this high-tech stuff. So somebody's sending them weapons.
I'd be really nervous. I would be really nervous if I lived in Japan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or South Korea.
Or U.S. military bases in Japan.
Because this guy is his name Kim Jong-il? Was that his dad?
No, Kim Jong-un.
Kim Jong-un. His dad was Kim Jong-il, right?
Right. And his dad was Kim Il-sung.
This guy's, from all indications, this guy's a psychopath.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's unpredictable or predictably unpredictable. He runs the country with an iron fist and you just don't know what he's going to do. He seems to want attention, for himself. So, I mean...
The odd thing is we took out so many dictatorships in the Middle East, Saddam Hussein, etc., but we've never touched this guy. I don't know whether it's because
he's got thousands of rockets and missiles aimed at South Korea.
Okay.
Seoul would cease to exist if... I mean,
talking about one of the largest cities in the world.
It would
Seoul,
be obliterated.
Korea.
Yeah,
and it's
not
right,
even going nuclear.
It's right there on the border.
Yeah, it is.
Now, if you were to fire some kind of weapon like that, you would start a war. It would be the end of North Korea too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But it would kill, as Ed says, it would kill a lot of people in South Korea. Mm-hmm. It would be a mess.
You got a dangerous nut with a bomb. That's what you got.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. We thank you for joining us today. On behalf of Walker, Ed, and Steve, and Fred, we'll see you back here tomorrow, everybody.